1-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-
Deterrence Studies, where we are advancing peace, promoting stability, and helping you to think deterrence. Each week, we inform you about a deterrence topic and its value in preserving peace. We hope you enjoy this show.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting episode of Nuclear Knowledge. I'm your host, Kirk Fancher. I'm a retired Air Force colonel, and one of the jobs I had was being in charge of the Air Force's Personal Reliability Program. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about the Personal Reliability Program, which is now the PRAP, Personal Reliability Assurance Program. And I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about safety and security of nuclear weapons. I think we've all seen three movies that sort of typify the fears that people have when they think about nuclear weapons and are they safe. So there's Dr. Strangelove, there's Failsafe, and there's Godzilla. And each of these films touches on one of the three key aspects of nuclear surety, which is the combination of nuclear safety, making sure a bomb doesn't go boom when it's not supposed to, and nuclear surety, making sure that the bomb does go boom when it is supposed to. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to use Dr. Strangelove as our example for why we have PRP. We're going to talk a little bit about Failsafe as our example of the systems that have been built into both the delivery system, the bomber or the ICBM control center or the submarine, and the safety safeguards that are part of the actual weapons design that prevent an inadvertent nuclear yield. So let's start with PRP to begin with. It's pretty obvious to most people that we want only the most reliable folks in the chain of command for the use of nuclear weapons, below the president down to the people who might be turning the keys. Part of that, integral part of that program is the Personal Reliability and Assurance Program, which is a special monitoring program to make sure that only people who are really sound and reliable are in these critical positions. It involves special medical monitoring. You can be being prescribed drugs for, let's say, a tooth extraction that might have you taken off PRP. It involves longer-term monitoring by the people in your chain of command, your coworkers and such, all with the objective of identifying folks who might be involved in one aspect of our nuclear safety who may be no longer suitable to be in such a position. So we can't have a General Ripper who sends his bombers off on Wing Attack Plan R. The PRP program helps us identify problematic behavior, people who are no longer reliable, and removes them for duties where they might be an issue. Our second movie, Failsafe, talks a little bit about really the procedures as well as the equipment that is built into the system to make sure that only a verified use of the weapon is used. And in the case of the nuclear bomber, which has the unique aspect that it can be recalled, that we could reliably recall those aircraft should the president change his mind and want to terminate hostilities. So there's a lot in the communications and code world that we're not going to talk much about, other than to say that there are a lot of safeguards that have been put in the system, from the two-man policy where no single person ever has access to critical nuclear material without being accompanied by another person who's also knowledgeable and would be able to detect whether or not some sort of tampering or unauthorized activity is happening. So there's never one person around the weapons, around critical command and control components that isn't being monitored by another person. So the two-person policy, having two PRP certified people trained in the task, working together, is a critical component of how we make sure that nuclear weapons are never used or can't be sabotaged or damaged without it being detected and the measures taken to stop that. The last piece I'm going to talk about here very briefly in the couple minutes we have left are the security and safety measures on the weapons themselves. And that's normally Jim Petrosky's area, so I'm gonna touch on it just briefly. The proof is sort of in the pudding here. There have been incidents in the past. Probably one of the most notable is at Damascus, Arkansas, in 1980, while performing maintenance on a liquid-fueled Titan missile carrying a 9-megaton warhead, there was a maintenance accident which caused a fire in the silo and then caused the missile itself to explode. Even under such a catastrophic failure of the system, the warhead was ejected from the silo. It was found later, but there was no nuclear detonation. In past history, we've had a nuclear weapon inadvertently dropped from an aircraft during an aircraft emergency. Tybee Island in Spain are two examples that are well known. And again, even with a catastrophic failure of the aircraft, the weapons survived the impact with the ground without causing a nuclear detonation or yield. So there are a lot of design features that go into the weapons to make sure that it has to be an authorized use. It's not an accident. It's not a fire. It's not something like that. And if there were to be one of those things, that they would not result in an unintentional nuclear yield. So that's the Godzilla movie there. I'd like to, you know, close by telling our audience that for many, many years now, decades, over 50 years, 60 years, we've had nuclear weapons on alert. Nuclear weapons in the custody of the United States Navy and the United States Air Force. We've never had a rogue actor set off a nuclear weapon. In fact, there have only ever been two intentional uses of a nuclear weapon at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And there's never been an unintentional use or an unauthorized use. So 60 years into this, 60 years plus into it, we have a pretty robust system that we continue to update and learn from and continue to modify to make sure that the nation's most valuable or most critical nuclear weapons and the processes around them are adequately safeguarded to ensure both nuclear safety and nuclear surety, making sure that the weapons do work if we need them to work in our testing program and evaluation programs, make sure that piece of the puzzle is in place and our layered security program around the weapons assures that a nuclear weapon will never be used without the intentional authorization by the president. So I hope that allows you to, watch these movies with a little more confidence that, you know, Hollywood is good at entertainment, but not so good necessarily at communicating the safety and security of our nuclear arsenal. And you can sleep safely at night knowing that the men and women of Global Strike Command in the United States Navy are keeping you safe with our nuclear deterrent. Thank you for your time. We hope you enjoyed this NIDS episode, NIDS Knowledge, as well as future and past episodes on NIDS Knowledge. I'd encourage you to browse the library, find some topics that you enjoy, and learn a little bit more about our nuclear deterrent.
Thank you for listening to NIDS Knowledge. This show is produced under the NIDS Podcasting Network, a division of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. NIDS is a 501c3 organization dependent upon donations to provide this podcast and bring about awareness of the peacekeeping value of U.S. strength and our national deterrence. You can catch all of our podcasts or provide feedback at thinkdeterrence.com. I would like to thank our producer, Kimberly Charrington, our sponsors, and all the fantastic members of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies for making this podcast possible. Stay tuned next week for another exciting and informative NIDS Knowledge.
A production of the National Institute for Deterrence Studies.